December 13th. We begin, as usual, in the Old Testament. And our reading today will be from the book of Obadiah. There's only one chapter in Obadiah. We'll go through the entire chapter, verses 1 through 21. Here is an overview of the book of Obadiah. When the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem, the Edomites rejoiced and helped the enemy instead of helping their brethren. It was a repetition of the ancient conflict between Esau and Jacob, which symbolizes the battle between the flesh and the spirit. What were the sins of Edom? Well, pride. Pride stands at the top of the list, and God promised to bring them down. They were also guilty of looting, and God said they would be looted in return. We see the law of sowing and reaping here in the book of Obadiah. They were also violent and indifferent, and they rejoiced at the plight of the Jews. But God warned that they would one day be slaughtered. See, what they had done to others would in fact be done to them, and there was no escape. But there was a bright future for Israel, for they shall possess their possessions. Babylon burned the city of Jerusalem and the temple, but Israel will be a fire to burn the enemy, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. It is a cruel thing to stand on the other side when our brothers and sisters need our help. The priest and the Levite retreated to the other side instead of helping the wounded pilgrim. If it is in our power to help, we must do so. What it tells us in the Bible over and over, especially in the book of Proverbs chapter 24. And we must not substitute words for deeds. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. December 13th, Obadiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. This is the vision that the sovereign Lord revealed to Obadiah concerning the land of Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord that an ambassador was sent to the nations to say, "Get ready, everyone. Let's assemble our armies and attack Edom." The Lord says, "I will cut you down to size among the nations, Edom. You will be small and despised. You are proud because you live in a rock fortress and make your home high in the mountains. Who can ever reach us way up here?" you ask boastfully. Don't fool yourselves. Though you soar as high as eagles and build your nest among the stars, I will bring you crashing down. I, the Lord, have spoken. If thieves came at night and robbed you, they would not take everything. Those who harvest grapes always leave a few for the poor. But your enemies will wipe you out completely. Every nook and cranny of Edom will be searched and looted. Every treasure will be found and taken. All your allies will turn against you. They will help to chase you from your land. They will promise you peace while plotting your destruction. Your trusted friends will set traps for you, and you won't even know about it. At that time, not a single wise person will be left in the whole land of Edom, says the Lord. For on the mountains of Edom, I will destroy everyone who has wisdom and understanding. The mightiest warriors of Teman will be terrified, and everyone on the mountains of Edom will be cut down in the slaughter. And why? Because of the violence you did to your close relatives in Israel. Now you will be destroyed completely and filled with shame forever, for you deserted your relatives in Israel during their time of greatest need. You stood aloof, refusing to lift a finger to help when foreign invaders carried off their wealth and cast lots to divide up Jerusalem. You acted as though you were one of Israel's enemies. You shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have gloated when they exiled your relatives to distant lands. You shouldn't have rejoiced because they were suffering such misfortune. You shouldn't have crowed over them as they suffered these disasters. You shouldn't have plundered the land of Israel when they were suffering such calamity. You shouldn't have gloated over the destruction of your relatives, looting their homes, and making yourselves rich at their expense. You shouldn't have stood at the crossroads, killing those who tried to escape. You shouldn't have captured the survivors, handing them over to their enemies in that terrible time of trouble. The day is near when I, the Lord, will judge the godless nations. As you have done to Israel, so it will be done to you. All your evil deeds will fall back on your own heads. Just as you swallowed up my people on my holy mountain, so you and the surrounding nations will swallow the punishment I pour out on you. Yes, you nations will drink and stagger and disappear from history, as though you had never even existed. But Jerusalem will become a refuge for those who escape. It will be a holy place. And the people of Israel will come back to reclaim their inheritance. At that time, Israel will be a raging fire, and Edom a field of dry stubble. The fire will roar across the field, devouring everything and leaving no survivors in Edom. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then my people living in the Negev will occupy the mountains of Edom. Those living in the foothills of Judah will possess the Philistine plains and take over the fields of Ephraim and Samaria. And the people of Benjamin will occupy the land of Gilead. The exiles of Israel will return to their land and occupy the Phoenician coast as far north as Zarephath. The captives from Jerusalem, exiled in the north, will return to their homeland and resettle the villages of the Negev. Deliverers will go up to Mount Zion in Jerusalem to rule over the mountains of Edom, and the Lord himself will be king. December 13th. Our reading in the New Testament for today will be from the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. We'll read about a door. God will one day open the door. The trumpet will sound, and God's people will be called to heaven. Meanwhile, we must take advantage of the open door of service that he gives. We'll read about a throne. Revelation is the book of the throne. John saw God the Father on the throne and was so overwhelmed that he had to refer to precious stones to describe what he beheld. Satan may have his throne on earth, but God's throne in heaven rules over all and will not be defeated. We'll read about a rainbow. This emerald rainbow was around the throne, a complete circle, and not just an arc as a normal rainbow. It pictures the grace of God. Now, on earth, we see the rainbow after the storm, but John saw it before the storm of judgment came. God gives his people his gracious promise, and they need not fear the coming storm. And then we'll also read about a choir here in the book of Revelation. The living creatures represent creation praising the Creator, and the elders represent God's people worshiping him. You see, when you lose the wonder of the Creator, you cease to become a good steward of the creation. All of creation praises the Lord, while sinful man praises himself and ignores his Creator. It was St. Augustine who said, "Thus does the world forget you, its Creator, and falls in love with what you have created instead of with you." And with that, let's begin today's reading here in the New Testament. December 13th, Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then, as I, John, looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I had heard before spoke to me with the sound of a mighty trumpet blast. The voice said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after these things." And instantly I was in the Spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven, and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, jasper, and carnelian. And the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder. And in front of the throne were seven lampstands with burning flames. They are the seven spirits of God. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass, sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes front and back. The first of these living beings had the form of a lion. The second looked like an ox. The third had a human face, and the fourth had the form of an eagle, with wings spread out as though in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered with eyes inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they keep on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come." Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created." Psalm 132, verses 1 through 18. Some students believe that this psalm was written when the Jewish exiles returned to their land from Babylon. This theory explains why David is mentioned. It was a difficult time as the Jews tried to rebuild their temple, their city, and their nation. And their beloved King David had been involved in these endeavors. The returned exiles wanted God to remember his covenant with David and restore their land. And so we'll read about the temple here in this psalm. David yearned to build the temple, but the Lord chose his son Solomon instead. However, David provided the plans for the temple and much of the wealth needed. Would God desert his people as they tried to rebuild the temple that meant so much to David? We'll read about the throne. God promised that David's line would continue on the throne, but now Israel was without a king. In fact, there would be no king until Jesus came, and then they would reject him. One day he will return and restore David's throne. And we'll read about the city itself, Jerusalem. It was in ruins, but it was the city of David and would not be forgotten by the Lord. He would dwell there, bless his people, and give them joy. He would restore power, which is the horn, and he would restore the light, the lamp, and make the city a testimony to the nations. Listen, when the going is tough, remember those feeble Jews who sacrificed to restore what sin had destroyed. They prepared the way for the Son of God, who came to their city and temple and gave his life for the sins of the world. Psalm 132, verses 1 through 18, a song for the ascent to Jerusalem. Lord, remember David and all that he suffered. He took an oath before the Lord. He vowed to the Mighty One of Israel, "I will not go home. I will not let myself rest. I will not let my eyes sleep, nor close my eyelids in slumber, until I find a place to build a house for the Lord, a sanctuary for the Mighty One of Israel." We heard that the ark was in Ephrathah. Then we found it in the distant countryside of Jair. Let us go to the dwelling place of the Lord. Let us bow low before him. Arise, O Lord, and enter your sanctuary, along with the ark, the symbol of your power. Your priests will be agents of salvation. May your local servants sing for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not reject the king you chose for your people. The Lord swore to David a promise he will never take back. I will place your descendants on your throne. If your descendants obey the terms of my covenant and follow the decrees that I teach them, then your royal line will never end. For the Lord has chosen Jerusalem. He has desired it as his home. This is my home, where I will live forever, he said. I will live here, for this is the place I desired. I will make this city prosperous, and satisfy its poor with food. I will make its priests the agents of salvation. Its godly people will sing for joy. Here I will increase the power of David. My anointed one will be a light for my people. I will clothe his enemies with shame, but he will be a glorious king. Proverbs 29, verses 24 and 25. If you assist a thief, you are only hurting yourself. You will be punished if you report the crime, but you will be cursed if you don't. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but to trust the Lord means safety.